You're listening to the Inner Child Podcast. Hello, my besties. I have a lighthearted episode for you today. We have to shake things up a little bit. I invited my dear friend Hiva, who is the host of another podcast called Blush Pod, all about candid conversations around dating and relationships. So Hiva and I decided to have a totally unfiltered, all hands on deck conversation all about codependent relationships, dating, and growing up feeling like the weird kid and really feeling like an outcast. Hiva is the definition of a high achiever. She is a lawyer, a food artist, and now podcast host who has so many other things coming down the pipe for her. So stay tuned for this really fun conversation right after this intro. Hi, I'm Gloria Zhang, and after 10 years of struggling in toxic relationships, I attracted the love of my life by healing my inner child. This podcast is your weekly dose of my expertise as a therapist and dating relationship coach for high achievers. Learn tips to overcome low self-worth, emotional baggage, and childhood trauma so that you too can step into your power and attract the love you desire. Welcome to the Inner Child Podcast. Hello, Hiva. Thank you for coming to the Inner Child Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, Hiva is an amazing person, and I came across her on Instagram, and I was really excited about the opportunity to bring her here to chat a little bit about relationships. Now, first and foremost, I obviously know who you are, but for our audience, who do you help, and why do you do what you do?
Oof. Well, I hope I help someone, God. So I am an attorney, although I haven't been practicing, and I'll get into all of that. But basically, I moved to New York a few years ago. I was in my first relationship after 7 years of being completely celibate. I mean, no crushes, no nothing. I didn't even kiss a boy for 7 years. And then I meet this guy and I was like, okay, this is obviously my soulmate. This is like who I'm supposed to be with. And I was just so anxiously attached, so codependent, so disconnected from myself and my body and like what I actually wanted. I was in the process of looking for a new job and nothing was coming through, even though, you know, I had really good grades in law school and I had really good work experience. It didn't really make sense. But again, I was so afraid of seeing what I actually wanted to do with my life, seeing that this wasn't the route that I wanted to be in, seeing that, you know, I actually really wanted to help people and do something that's a little innovative and new and different and put myself out there more. But I was so afraid of seeing these things about myself. And simultaneously, I deep down knew that I wasn't really happy or thriving in this relationship. I knew I was making myself small just to be with him. I was overgiving, overperforming just to keep him satisfied. But I just, again, couldn't see that because I was in such scarcity mindset. You know, it was like, I've done all this education. I have to be in this career path. I was celibate for 7 years. This is the first guy I've even had interest in 7 years. Like, oh, I don't want to go another 7 years being celibate. I have to make this work. I was so clinging on to everything. And then, you know, the universe was just pushing me out of the nest. Like, I wasn't getting any of the jobs that I was applying for. And then this guy broke up with me and I was just at rock bottom. And so that's when I started to do a lot of self-development. I learned about codependency. I learned about attachment styles. My spirituality deepened. I did a lot of inner child work, a lot of shadow work. And I started to slowly see how disconnected I was with my actual soul and my soul purpose for this lifetime, not to get too woo-woo. So that's when I started to make a lot of changes in my life. And it's been a very slow process, but 2 summers ago, I was just starting to date again after this massive breakup. So I was again single for another couple of years. And then I was starting to date, talk to guys, go on dates. And I was sending a lot of voice memos back and forth with one of my close friends who isn't really into any of this stuff, but she is very kind of into the dating advice and game style, the kind of pickup artistry type stuff. And I was in a place where, again, I didn't have the highest self-worth. I was just starting to do this. I was so out of touch with what's going on in dating. And so I was relying on her very heavily for advice. And at the time, I was listening to a lot of podcasts. I won't name them, but some of them very, you know, that same type of pickup artistry, slightly toxic, like game playing advice type things. And at the same time, I was still very into self-development and self-work. So I was also listening to a lot of deeper podcasts. And I always found myself having to choose between a podcast that I found like a little fun and informative and entertaining, maybe not like the best type of information. And then also the podcasts that were actually healthy for my subconscious to listen to. And so I thought, why don't I start a podcast that is relatable and fun, and I can talk about, you know, my dating escapades and, you know, all the times when I act super crazy and things like that, but also bring it full circle and be like, okay, that's like my inner child wounding that's acting out, or this is my subconscious fears that are showing up, or this is my shadow that's being triggered, or this is my anxious attachment style that's at play, and that's why I'm acting so crazy or jealous or possessive or whatever it may be, and have it be kind of an educational tool while also being relatable and real and entertaining. And so that's how I came to start my podcast, Blush Podcast. It's been running for a little bit over a year. Again, I certainly hope it's helping someone.
Well, of course it is, my dear. And when you described it as Sex and the City meets Tony Robbins, I thought, I have to meet this girl like yesterday. And speaking of which character would you be from Sex and the City?
Oh, God. None of them. Okay. Here's what I'll say. I always wanted to be Charlotte because that's just the inner perfectionist in me, right? Mm. She always seemed like the pretty one, the perfect one, the one that my parents would like, the one that my teachers would like. So that was always the inner perfectionist in me, always wanted to be Charlotte. I think my biggest fear was always to be Samantha. I had so much shame around sexuality. And so I was like, oh, I don't want to be like her. She's the slutty one or whatever.
And yet she's the most celebrated, iconic character out of all of them.
She really is. Isn't that interesting? Right? And then, I mean, I think an obvious one, and I probably at this point in my life, I'd be like, well, I should be like Miranda, right? Like she had the cushy job. She's the most responsible.
Right. The lawyer.
Yeah, the lawyer, of course. But honestly, I'm probably Carrie, the one that's just tries to be a good friend, but isn't always. Probably a little messy with her relationships. I don't know. Actually, I think I've really come full circle on that. I've seen so much growth in myself since the podcast started with my relationships. And I'm now in this relationship that's so healthy and secure and functional. I mean, not to say that I don't act crazy from time to time, but it's very limited relative to how I used to act in relationships.
Yes, of course.
What about you? Who do you relate with?
Well, I thought about this when I wrote this question for our interview today, and I feel like I almost relate to Charlotte the most because there's a naivety about her that I feel like I sometimes have as well, like that derpiness that I can really relate to. But it almost seems like the four of them are such different archetypes and we can see a little bit of all of them inside us, which is really cool.
Right. And I think that's how it was intended. I think it's kind of like, you know, Enneagrams, they say really we all have all nine or I don't know how many Enneagrams there are in us. I think it's the same with Sex and the City. We all have some of them in us.
Yeah, totally. And you and I both love love, and I see there's so many parallels in our story. So you're definitely on the right podcast, and we're going to include a link to your show below because it's very helpful to hear your own experiences being told by someone else, right? And I'm sure a lot of your audience can resonate with your personal dating experiences. Now, how did you personally start to heal from codependent relationships?
It's been such a journey. I'd say the number one thing that's been really helpful for me is doing a ton of inner child work. And so really going back and giving my inner child everything that it wasn't getting in childhood. I just have to give this disclaimer in the offhand chance that my parents listen. I am not insulting my parents. I think all of our parents, for the most part, did the best that they could, you know? And we should be able to see and appreciate the things that they did do. But I think all of our parents fell short in some way, and it's not intentional. You know, we're children, we're sensitive beings. And I do think for cultural and generational reasons, my parents weren't able to fully be there for all of my emotional needs. Again, they were very physically present parents. They gave me everything that they thought I needed. But there was such a cultural gap. They moved to Germany from Iran right before I was born. And so, you know, we're in this foreign country. They don't really speak the language. They don't really have friends. Like, they're not really socializing me. They're so afraid of something happening to me in this foreign country. They're very tethered to their culture and wanting to make sure to keep their culture alive in us, which I'm very grateful that they did. But at the same time, I feel like they didn't assimilate very well to living somewhere, which was also a country that was not very accepting of foreigners at the time. So I have such deep-seated feeling other in me that I've had to address so much through inner child work. I mean, I've gone through basically in a meditative state so many times and given myself different types of childhoods, be like really free and wild and kind of hippie-ish parents, or the parents who were in the PTA and doing everything at the yes. school and super involved in my life and really so social parents, like just different types of upbringings to give myself all those things that I wasn't getting that I was then clinging on to getting from other people.
My parents were immigrants as well, so I'm getting flashbacks to my own childhood.
Yeah.
What was it like growing up for you then? What kind of a child were you?
I was very quiet and not very childlike. Is the best way I can describe it. And it's so funny because I'm so loud now and I act so childish, not, you know, in a toxic way, but like in a silly way. Like I didn't get to be a silly, outgoing kid. I was really afraid. One memory that I always loop back to is, so in Germany, it's switched. There's kindergarten first, then preschool, then the first grade. I think it's switched in America, but that's just how I refer to it in my head. So I went to a German kindergarten. And then before preschool, my parents put us in private school, and it was the international school. So there you're taught everything in English. And so I remember my first day, like I will never forget this memory, my first day of preschool. I had just gone through a year where I didn't know the language because I just learned German in kindergarten. So I finally am at this new school. I'm like, at least I know the language now, but everyone's speaking in English. And so again, I didn't know the language. And everyone's right. playing with each other. And I was like, oh, these girls look so cute. Like, I want to play with them, but everyone's ignoring me. And I do not speak the language. So naturally, I'm quiet. And I didn't have a lot of friends in my neighborhood, and my parents lived pretty far from the school. So there were none of my school friends in the neighborhood. And then I didn't really have neighborhood friends. So I was very isolated. Like if I wanted to hang out with someone, it was a whole production of making it happen. So I didn't have that type of upbringing where you just run out of the house and there's like neighborhood friends and neighborhood kids that you can play with at the park around the corner. Like my parents never let me out of their sight. They were so terrified of something happening to me. So yeah, I was very isolated. I had a lot of imaginary friends where I could kind of, have the life that I wanted with a lot of friends and people to be around. But no, I was very, very quiet. I never really spoke about my fears or things I wanted. I mean, I remember I thought I was an alien for the vast majority of my childhood.
Kiba, I literally said the exact same thing on my podcast.
Really? Oh my God.
Yeah, I didn't think I was human at one point. Tell me more, please.
We have to talk about this on mine. I'm so excited to find someone else. So it was really little dumb things that were pointing me off. Now that I'm an adult, I wonder if a deeper layer of it was the fact that I was foreign, living in a foreign country, and I looked like no one else, and I never saw anyone who looked like me on TV and stuff like that. I wonder if that's a deeper element of it. But for me, it was really surface things like I could hear myself chew, but I couldn't hear other people chew. So I just assumed that I was the only person making noise while they chewed. It was really kind of dumb things like that. This is so weird, but I remember, you know, when you pee, the pee stream makes a sound, but I wouldn't hear other people pee. So I just thought it was only me. And so like when I pee in public bathrooms, I try to like trinkle it out as like slowly as possible so that it doesn't make sound. Yes. I mean, it was really dumb stuff that if I'd just been comfortable enough to be like, hey, mom, do other people make noise while they chew? She would have been like, yes. And the whole thing would have ended. Instead, I had so much stress as a child, constantly trying to hide the fact that I'm an alien so no one finds out.
I'm in love with that example because what's the word? It's so insidious how this feeling of otherness, it shows up in all of these little places, right? Even in everyday things that are supposed to be normal. But now it's taking up a huge chunk of your mental space to have to carry that. That must have been so tough, Hiba.
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of people had a lot harder childhoods overall. This is all coming from a place of privilege. I do want to acknowledge that. But you know, when I look back on it, I didn't get to be a kid. I was so stressed always about hiding my alien identity, assimilating to other people, or even just having grown up around a good amount of conflict. I was constantly stressed about constantly trying to keep my parents happy. You know, my parents had so much stress. Again, having just immigrated to this new country, my dad just getting his footing with work, suddenly having to provide for two kids in a country that he knows nothing about and a language that he doesn't speak. My mom was just so isolated and not making friends. And it was really gray all the time in the city we lived in Germany. And so she probably had a good amount of postpartum. And so as a young kid, feeling the pressure of wanting my parents to be happy and like thinking it was my responsibility to keep them happy. And like I can see so well how in adulthood I have such a hard time. And I mean, I've worked through a lot of this, but it's a journey, it's a process, you know, like having a hard time speaking my views or disagreeing with people or letting someone down.
Yes. You know, Hiba, your experience is, I think my audience will relate to it a lot. We're a big group of high achievers over here. And so many of the people I work with and listeners are folks who, you know, seem to have, at least on the surface level, they had a place to live, they had food on the table. A lot of folks who actually have very great careers, yet they still feel this sense of performance, right? And they realize that they perhaps have chosen the career that they're in because the status from it gave them validation or it gave them a sense of love. And I know you've transitioned out of practicing as an attorney. How did that journey start? And what are you doing now?
Oh, it was so hard. I didn't even want to go to law school, I should preface. I finished undergraduate. I'd studied economics. I was working in policy, making very little money, but it felt prestigious. And I looked at my role models in the field who were doing a lot of TV interviews and things like that. And I didn't know at the time that it was kind of like, I don't know if you're into astrology, but the Leo rising in me that was like, I want to be on TV. I want to talk. I want people to listen to me. So I was like, oh, I'll do this. Sure. And then I moved from that to the private sector, but I was just so directionless and in such a weird place in my mid-20s. And I started an MBA program just to make my dad happy. And then he had always been talking about me going to law school, and I never acquiesced. And then something happened where I really needed his help with something. I was in the process of buying a condo, but I'd kind of made a mistake on the paperwork. So I needed him to quickly loan me a large amount of money. And I did end up prepaying him. But when he gave that to me, he was like, "So, you know, congrats on your new condo. I hope you're happy, blah, blah, blah." And then he's like, "You know what would make me happy?" And I was like, "What, Dad?" And he's like, "If you went to law school." And I was like, "Wow."
There it is. I was waiting for that.
That was well played, Dad. That was well played, and sure. And so I applied at the same school I was doing my MBA program in. So I was doing a joint program then. And I will say, law school was a really fun time. I made really good friends. I really would not take it back. But when I graduated, I was having a really hard time getting a job. And I was working for the company that I worked for before law school, but I knew I didn't want to stay in that. I mean, I really felt like I was applying so much, going on interviews. And again, I had the grades, I had everything, but I just wasn't landing these jobs. And this was during a time when I was going through a lot of spiritual up-leveling. And so I remember there was one interview I went on and I was like, okay, everyone at the interview loved me. If I don't get this job, there is something fundamentally wrong with what I'm doing here. And this isn't the right path for me. So I didn't get that job. And I was like, okay, now I know I need to kind of broaden and look outside this area. But I was still so tethered to the prestige of being a lawyer. And I couldn't imagine doing something completely different. And I moved to New York. I'm working remotely. And then I went through that breakup and all those things happened. And I was like, okay, I'm going to set up my own solo practice. That way I have a lot more flexibility with time and I can really think about what I actually want to do. And during that time, I started posting on my Instagram a lot. I'm vegan and I am really passionate about making beautiful vegan food. So that's just something I was enjoying and I was doing, but I didn't really think that it could possibly be a career option for me. And I was just kind of dabbling, thinking, trying various things. For a while, I wanted to start an herb business, but then with COVID and supply chain stuff, that kind of fizzled and I fell out of love with that. And then I started the podcast, and I'll be fully transparent. It's not to a point where I'm living off the podcast yet. Obviously, I would love that to be the case. But one thing that I did in my 20s that ended up really saving me during this time was when I was working in the private sector in my 20s, I was making really good money and I didn't have a ton of expenses. So I made a few really good investments. A few pieces of property that I bought. And then my brother at the time was starting a clean beauty manufacturing facility. And again, I was pretty liquid. So I invested heavily in that. I invested heavily in a few other companies. And now I'm at a place where I can live completely off of passive income. So between rental and other income. Yeah. I mean, unless something fundamentally changes, like I'm pretty protected. I can live off of that. Of course, that doesn't mean that that's what I want to do. So I do the podcast and I recently got a book deal for a vegan cookbook. So I work on that. I work on the podcast. And again, I'd like the podcast to get at a level where I can really make serious money off of it.
Can I just say, everyone listening really needs to look at Eva's Instagram page. It's absolutely gorgeous. What she does with these edible flowers is phenomenal.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. You know, I love flowers. I love pretty things. You know, that's even something I was kind of shadowy about because I have spent so much of my life very in tune with my masculine energy and very one of the boys, picked up hobbies and habits that made me one of the guys. And I really prided myself on that, on being like the cool, chill girl. And it took a lot of shadow work for me to be like, no, I'm not cool. Neither am I chill. Maybe I should really just embrace who I am. Yeah. And maybe that's a bit of a basic girl who really likes flowers and pretty things. And, you know, I used to not eat like salads because I wanted to be like, no, I only like burgers and steaks. And, you know, just this weird programming that affected everything from my interests to what I ate. And when I became vegan, it was the first time where I was like, I don't care what other people think. This is what I think is ethically and morally right. And so that's what I'm going to do. And I, by the way, I'm not being preachy about being vegan at all. I don't care what other people do. But it was a moment where I was like, this is what's right for yourself, me.
Of course.
And I'm not going to let this desire to come off as cool because I eat steaks take priority over that.
Yeah. So that's a really important thing too, is sometimes we think about self-esteem in terms of I'm trying to be someone, but it's also the other way around, right? It's sometimes we also try to not be someone, and that's just as inauthentic. So I'm so glad you found your voice.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Here's a bit of a fun question. Are you binging anything lately on Netflix or Amazon or wherever you like to watch your shows?
Yes, so much stuff. Like, so I won't even say everything I want to say on this topic because we'd be here till tomorrow morning. In terms of funny shows, Sex Lives of College Girls is excellent. It's on HBO. Oh. I actually talk about it quite a bit on my podcast because I like to kind of dissect characters and their mental space and things like that. I just find that to be a fun thing to do. Mm-hmm. So that's excellent. It's funny. It's kind of heartwarming. It's light, but also gets some important messages across. Another show I'm obsessed with, and I just rewatched it for the third time in like a month, is Lock and Key. It's on Netflix. Have you seen it or heard of it?
I haven't seen it yet. It's actually on our playlist.
Okay, you have to watch it. It's kind of childlike and whimsical and magical. If you liked Harry Potter, you'll definitely like it. It's similar themes. It's this family that the dad gets killed, and so the mom moves them to their childhood home. And it's across the country. And in this house, there are all these magical elements. I won't say much more than that, but it's really fun and magical. And there are some concepts in it that will make you think deeper about things. I'm actually...
Oh, I love shows like that.
Yeah, I'm planning on discussing it on the podcast because there's a specific theme with fear and thoughts and things like that that I want to dive into in the podcast soon. But it's so fun. It's so suspenseful. It's that kind of mysterious, like you just can't stop watching it. So yeah, those I'd highly recommend. And then there were two limited series I just binged on Netflix. And I mean binged in like a day or two. One was Clickbait.
Yeah, like the last two guests on here told me the same thing. I just haven't seen it yet.
Really? Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And then Stay Close. It's British. It's kind of mysterious. Oh, and this one was a hard one to watch, but now that I've gotten into it, I'm obsessed with it. Yellow Jackets.
Which one is that?
Have you heard of that? It's on Showtime.
Oh, I don't have Showtime. I'm missing a whole world.
Yeah. I mean, what else do I like? Billions is on Showtime. That's probably the only other thing I really watch on there. Yellow Jackets, for anyone listening who might be interested, it is very disturbing. I will say that it's maybe the most disturbing thing I've seen. It's about a soccer team from the 90s. The soccer team that was up for the national championships, their plane crashes somewhere remote, and the survivors are out there for a year and a half before they're found. And so now it's 25 years into the future, like in present time. And so the show keeps alternating between 25 years ago, when they go out there, they crash, how they survive, and also present time. And so it's very mysterious and suspenseful, but there's some highly, highly disturbing images.
Well, we're going to have to do a watch party sometime because my list keeps getting longer and longer. That is awesome. I'm just curious about what people like to watch. That's why I like to ask.
Me too.
Yes.
Mainly because I just love to watch TV so much, so I just constantly need recommendations. Yeah.
Well, now I know who to go to for a recommendation.
Yeah.
Even though I just had like 100 more questions, we're running out of time for today. But where can listeners find you to find your Instagram or check out your podcast?
Okay. So my personal Instagram handle is HIWAAAAAAA. It's 8 A's. Just keep typing A's. You'll find it.
I love it.
And the podcast is called Blush. You'll find it on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere else that you listen to podcasts. And the podcast Instagram is at BlushPod.
Beautiful. We're going to include some links. And you know what's so funny? Everything about today was so serendipitous, but my first email address ever was glory00000@hotmail.com.
That's so funny.
It's very funny.
Yeah, I mean, I tried 1A and it was taken, so I just kept adding just A's until I found an available one.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Well, I can't wait to tune into your show, and I know that there's a lot of overlap with what we do, so I know folks are going to be interested to check out your show as well. So thank you so much for taking the time to come on here today, Hiva.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes. My pleasure. I'll talk to you soon. Are you a high achiever or entrepreneur who's thriving in your career but really struggling in your love life? You sound just like I was. I help high achievers just like you break the pattern of toxic relationships through inner child healing so that you can attract and create the secure life partnership of your dreams. Message me the words high achiever to learn about joining Soulmate at By Gloria Zhang on Instagram or apply directly on my website, bygloriazhang.com.